We're going to spend the next few moments focusing on God's Word today. Before we do that, I just want to just give you a taste or a teaser about what's happening next weekend. You want to be here for our family Christmas service. That's where we celebrate Christmas as a family. We'll be going to go through the entire Christmas story. We're going to be picking people to get lots of presents, and we're going to be having a time where we say it's like, this is what Christmas is about. We're going to be treated like this is a big family living room. And there'll be some special surprises through the course of that service. And even at the end, what we're doing is that we're going to have a table set up that there's going to be bags of groceries. And if you need groceries, we want you to take a bag. Like, you don't have to, no questions asked. You don't have to sign up for anything. If you need groceries, there's a bag of groceries. You take a bag of groceries. We want to be a blessing this Christmas season. So we want you to plan to join with us next week at our family Christmas. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, we're in week two of a series that we've entitled Presents. And let me raise your hand if this is you. How many of you already have presents underneath your tree right now? Okay, there's presents underneath your tree. Not that many of you. Some of you are like, they're saying, what tree, Pastor? Who doesn't have a tree yet? Oh, wow, we got some work to do here. Okay, now let me ask this. Who here, you plan on getting less than 24 hours use out of your wrapping paper? Like, you wrap presents on the last day. You're like, yeah, it's not going to sit in the wrapping paper. Like, yeah. Oh, man, presents. Now, something that we're not going to wait that long on today is that we have a present we want to give away today. And so when you came in, you should have received a card with a number on it. Go ahead and pull that card out. Look to see what number you have, because somebody here is getting a present. No delay here. So we got a randomized number we're calling out here. Hopefully your number is the one that's picked. I want everyone to get a present, but only one person gets a present. There we go. Okay, so I'm picking a number out right now. It might be you. Okay, let me just say, this is a high number, a high number. So if you got a low number, it's not going to work. When I call out this number, you got to identify yourself and you're going to come join us here up on the stage. We're going to give you a present. The first number of this number is number 5. So that leaves 10 people who are like, yes, it could be me. And that leaves a whole lot of people who are saying, oh, it's not me. Okay, so the winner is, the person getting a present is number 50. Who's got 50? Come on up here. It's time to get a present. Yay. Okay. We got a present for you. I'll take your card. There we go. Go ahead and open it. Open. There we go. This is a special box in that there's no wrapping paper on it. You just got to take the bow off and open it up, and let's see what's inside. Oh. She has a sweatshirt jacket inside. It says Focus Church on it. Awesome. Let's give her a hand. That's great. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, Christmas seems to be synonymous with present giving. You know, we have this tradition of gift giving, and presents are everywhere, and sometimes when we think about this whole idea of presents, we think, what is the reason for giving presents? And why is presents associated with Christmas? And sometimes we get a little cynical and we're like, you know what? I know what it is. All the retailers were looking at their fourth quarter earnings. They're like, we got to come up with a day that everyone has to buy something and give it away. And so, like, it's retailism and commercialism, like, at its peak, right? That's what Christmas is. Or maybe it's not. See, last week we looked at a passage in Luke where the angels announced the birth of Jesus to a group of shepherds. And we came to this understanding that we give presents because God gave his present to us first, his son. Now today, we want to ask and hopefully answer this question. Why is the birth of Jesus so important to the celebration of Christmas? And what does that have to do with presents? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. Right now, I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull out your Bible app. We're going to be turning today to Matthew chapter 1. You can use your paper Bible if you got that as well. The words will be up on the screen. But we highly encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone, to have it with you, to actually take practice with us, to look up where in the Bible is Pastor Ryan reading from, so you know where to find it later, because your phone will keep it. You see, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. We totally provide this as a way to keep you awake while I'm talking. So, because that's kind of embarrassing, because maybe we have like hidden cameras and we're going to take photos of you sleeping in church. No, that's not it. It's we want you to stay awake, and the answers are going to be up on the screen. It's going to help you know how long is this guy going to talk for today, because at the end I had to be done, right? But we also want you to use this as a way to know, to use it as a way to study for yourself later on this week. Use it as a devotion. Use it as a study guide. Look up the passages for yourself. Know what the Bible says yourself, not just what I'm saying about it. Now, I want to say hi to those who are watching online today. We're so glad that you are watching with us, and we want to know who's watching with us. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to write your name down in the comments below, maybe who's watching with you, where you're watching from, and our hosts will be happy to greet you there. We're glad you're here. Okay, Matthew chapter 1 is the very first beginning book of the New Testament, and that's where the story begins. But we're going to jump to verse 18, because here we have an angel again announcing that Jesus is going to be born. Verse 18, it says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Let's pray. God, I pray as we unpack your word for us today that you would be with us, that you would challenge us, and that you would change us. In Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. I love buying presents. Who here is like me? You love buying presents. You like getting presents for people. Yeah, there's just a handful of us. Now, I don't know if you like it to the extreme that I like it, because when I'm getting presents for people, an Excel spreadsheet is involved. I mean, I've got this color-coded, I've got the spreadsheet, I've got the list of names, what I'm buying for, I've got a budget of how much I want to spend, and then I keep track of, like, what did I buy, if it's coming on Amazon, like, when to expect the shipment, and, you know, our place has been package central recently, a lot of things have been bought, and so a lot of delivery guys have been showing up at our front door. And my wife had the idea, she's like, hey, you have all these guys coming to the front door, I want to give them a snack. And so she put out one of those things with a basket with a sign that says, hey, thanks for, you know, traveling and bringing us boxes. Take a snack, right? Or a drink. So we got this set up. But that wasn't enough for Shalee. She's like, I want to know that they took it. So she's like taking inventory of it afterwards. Like, did anyone take any snacks today? And she's realizing what kind of snacks they like and what they don't like. And you know what the number one thing that they're claiming? Ruffles potato chips. Of all the stuff, that's like the thing. That's the thing that goes the most. But here's what she had me do this week, though, because she's like, I want to see them take the thing. And I'm like, that's kind of awkward to peer out the window while they're going, right? And so we set up like a security camera above the door, and it films them. And she's gotten such glee out of like, yes, they took something out of the basket, you know, yeah. We have lots of packages coming, and you know, I like to have everything organized and everything, and it looks all pretty, and I know when to expect everything. But you know what? That doesn't mean, that's not everything when it comes to giving gifts. You see, it's not just the fact that we get gifts or the fact that we're organized or the fact that boxes are showing up at the door. It's about getting the right present. So, for the last several months, I've been spying and like keeping tabs on people. And like, trying to figure out what would be something they're interested in. And what would be something I want to get that. Or you got to find out. Or sometimes we ask for wish lists. And, you know, we always ask our kids for a wish list, you know, where they need to type up a list on their phone of here's things that we'd like. So, and they can't just, you know, they try to use the strategy. If I just put one thing on the list, then I have to get that, right? We're like, nope, that's not how it works. Recently, I've had to actually be a little more confrontational with my kids and say, okay, what do you want for Christmas? Like, just outright say it. And they're like, I don't know. To which I have to reply, then I don't know if you're going to get any presents. You know, if you want presents, you got to have a list. Got to find out. But see, here's my goal when it comes to present giving. I want to find them the present they didn't even realize that they wanted or needed. That's my goal. No. In order to do that for those that you love, sometimes you have to keep secrets. I have a hard time not being excited about some things that are already hiding in my closet. Oh, I mean, yeah, I can't give that away. You know, but you know what also you have to do? What I've realized is that it's inevitable. Every Christmas season, there'll be someone who's on my list, and I realize I have no idea what to get them. I have no idea. And I realized I should have been paying attention more. I should have been present more. I should have been aware. I should know. Jesse Jackson is credited with saying this, that your kids need your presence more than they need your presence. That they need you to be there, to know them, and to be known. And here's what I've discovered, what I'm reminded of every Christmas, is that the best present giving involves purposely getting to know someone and getting a gift that is tailored just to them. And that requires my presence. I gotta be there. And now I'm requiring the presence of someone in this room to join me up on stage, not just Pastor Aubrey, but someone's getting a present, and so pull out your cards with the number on it because I want to give away another present from underneath these trees here. Let's see. You want me to mix it up real good, right? To make sure there's not, you know, like the one that Pastor Aubrey already picked and she put on top. Okay. This one is a low number, but it's not single digits. Some of you are like, oh, it's not me. The person whose presence we require on the stage to receive a present is number 18. Who's got number 18? Come on up, man. Yes, here we go. Wow. This is like his day because he just got baptized and now he's up getting a present. It's so cool. And so now you got to open it up and see what you got. Oh, man. You just tear it open. Tear it open. We're not saving the paper for later. There we go. He got a box. Yes. And what's inside the box? There is a gift card to a restaurant. Let's give him a hand. He's going out to eat. Yeah. Merry Christmas. You know, God knew what the best gift was for you before you even realized that you wanted or needed it. See, God had a plan from the very beginning. He knew what we needed, and it was foretold in prophecies. You see, we needed him, his divine intervention. We needed hope. We needed something to change about the status of our soul. We needed forgiveness. You see, I've mentioned last week that when it comes to presents, that I've always, since I was a young child, just cannot stand the anticipation of there's something inside the box. And so as a kid, I would always try to find where my mom stashed and hid the presents, you know, in her closet on the top shelf. And she would try to wrap them early, and I would try to peek into them. What I would do is I would volunteer to rearrange the presents, you know, under the tree to make sure they're placed just perfectly, right? And that's carried over into adulthood as well, this anticipation, you know. So, but here's the deal. So my mom, she wanted to figure out a way to thwart me with this. So one year, here's what she came up with. She's like, I'm not putting any names on the presents. She's like, I'm just going to remember whose presents is whose. And wouldn't you know, by the time we got to Christmas morning, she couldn't remember a single person's present. We had a bunch of wrap presents. She's like, I don't know who's going to get. She didn't want the wrong person to get the wrong presents. And so mom got to open a lot of presents, you know, on the edge to see, oh, yeah, Ryan, this is yours. And there is, and I think it was inevitable that, you know, I opened my brother's present, my present opened my present, you know. But that didn't really work that well. You know, as we've gone into adulthood, when we have Christmas here with our family, there's seven of us. We have five kids, and then grandparents and an aunt comes along, so there's 10 of us. And so they've decided, hey, we want to stop Ryan from figuring out what presents are underneath the tree, too. So one year they came up with numbers, that everyone had a number, but you didn't know whose number was what. And sure enough, Christmas morning, we couldn't find the key that showed whose number was whose. We figured it out, but, you know, it's kind of important to have names on presents, right? So they came up with, I think was one of the best ideas, they came up with a different wrapping paper per person's present. Now, I said there was 10 of us. That's a lot of different styles of wrapping paper. And it was a foolproof plan until there was too many presents for certain people. And we had to come up with a second and a third style of wrapping paper. So not only were there 10 different designs underneath the tree, there was like 15 different designs underneath the tree. Crazy. I mean, presents need names on them, don't they? Names are associated with presents. Presents come with a name. It's who it's for. Names and presents go together. And speaking of going together, it's time to match a gift with someone in this audience. Pastor Aubrey's here. Pull out your numbers. Let's find out who's getting the gift. This person is. Oh. I'll tell you what, it's not a low number. It's a high number. And the first number of this two-digit number is number 5. Okay. The person coming up here that's getting a present from underneath the tree is number 53. Who's got number 53? Oh, man, look at here. Mother and daughter win today. Okay. I'll take your card. Awesome. You get to go ahead and open that up. Let's see what's in the box. Oh, I get the. There we go. It fell off. It's a brown box. It's different. What could be in this brown box? We'll take that paper. You don't have to keep the paper. Let's just like throw it away there. Paper's not worth it. We don't want to get our value out of this paper. What do we got? It's a sweatshirt jacket that says Focus Church on it. Let's give her a hand. Awesome. Merry Christmas. I guess we get the box too. You know, and just like we just matched a present with her number, she has a name. I mean, God's gift included a name as well. You see, we read today in Matthew chapter 1 that the angel visited Joseph and told him that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. See, the miracle of Christmas isn't a virgin birth, angel announcements, manger cribs, or gifts from wise guys. But really, the miracle of Christmas was, and is, that for the first time, God would be with us. You see, if there's something that we need to know, if there's something we need to realize here today when it comes to Christmas, is that the real meaning of Christmas is not just Jesus, but it's that Jesus is here and he's with us, that we need to realize that God's presence to us was his presence. And wouldn't you know that God is the author of the very first ever dad joke? His presence is our presence. His presence. But you know, that's all fine and dandy, Pastor. You know, that God's with us. He'd be called Emmanuel and everything. But you know, is that really for everyone? Well, you see, it was a promise that was made to Joseph. It was made to Mary. But it was made to all of us that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. However, it seems to be that it's this time of year that people feel the loneliest. As a matter of fact, they've done studies about this time. About 55% of Americans say they experience loneliness at Christmas. And of all the people that feel lonely, the people affected the most, people who are single and people who are young adults. And the number one reason why someone feels lonely at Christmas time is because for some reason they're not able to be with loved ones. You know, we need people in our lives. We need to know that we are not alone, that someone is there. And let me just give this word of encouragement. It's really easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. And maybe we need to, this Christmas, open our eyes to the people we have around us. And maybe do some, maybe ask a few extra questions to make sure that no one's left alone, that everyone has a place to go, that maybe you're supposed to share Christmas with somebody else that's not related to you this year. You see, we like to say that the Focus Church is a family, that it's not just a church, it's we're a family. And family, the way it's supposed to be, we're supposed to take care of each other. And so, let someone know they're not alone this Christmas. Let them know that you're there. Last year, I was out shopping. This was in the springtime of last year. And while I was shopping, What was I shopping for? I was shopping for a suit. I should have known better. If you know me, I don't dress up here because I want you to know I'm a regular guy just like you, follows Jesus. God just asked me to do this, and I said yes. But I happened to have a need for a suit, so I went shopping for a suit, and I should have known better. But while I was shopping for a suit, I experienced a heart attack. And I didn't really know what was going on, but I knew something was really wrong, and I knew I was on the floor and I couldn't move. And it seemed like for ages that I was there just trying to get someone's attention, but I couldn't speak up that loud. And I'm like, help, help, help. I could hear there were some other customers nearby, but I had fallen between some racks of clothes where I was kind of hidden in an obscure section of the store because they were selling suits. Finally, an employee came over, called 911, and all the while, it was like I was aware of everything, but I just couldn't do what I wanted to do. But the thing that I was most hyper aware of was that no one I loved or knew where I was or what was happening to me. I was alone. And as the paramedics came and they put me into the ambulance, I'm like, hey, we need to call my wife. She doesn't know I'm here. She doesn't know what's going on. They're like, sir, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that. I say, we'll take care of that at the hospital. I get to the hospital and they're having me in the ER and they're running tests and there's a whole team of people all around me. And I'm like, I need to call my wife. We need someone needs to call. They don't know. And what I knew was this. If my wife doesn't know I'm here, that means no one else in this family knows I'm here, and that means no one's praying for me. I was alone. I had to actually get real adamant, like, call my wife now. But here I was, alone. But you know what? I wasn't alone. in Psalm chapter 23, it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Isaiah chapter 43 says, "Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior." See, we are not alone. God cares, and he is there. And 2,000 years ago, God's gift to us was his presence of his son, Jesus. And the thing is, Jesus is with us always. That night in the ER, Jesus was with me. And he healed me. That all of a sudden, all the symptoms went away and all the test results were not coming back with what they're... The doctors were scratching their heads. They're like, "We know what we saw. We know what we were diagnosing." And yet, as they're looking at the readouts and as they're looking at everything and the numbers changing, they're like, "How do you feel right now?" I'm like, "Okay." They're like, "Do you think you could sit up?" I said, "I think so." Like, "Do you think you could stand up?" I'm like, "I think so." "Do you think you can walk?" "I think so." And I got up out of bed and began walking around the ER. They're like, "We don't know what's going on." The doctor who was in charge, he walks into the room after I made my way back to the room and I'm sitting on the side of the bed. And he's like, "I know what I saw. I know what I was dealing with." And he's like, "The only thing I can say," and what he did is he threw up his hands. He said, "Hallelujah, because there must be God with you," or something. He recognized that this isn't the way it always works, that something special had taken place. God had healed me. And I think it was interesting, the fact that he said that, "I don't have any explanation except that God must be with you." And that's the case. 2,000 years ago, we're celebrating Christmas from 2,000 years ago, that God gave us his son, that God's presence was in a person. That was his gift. His presence is our present. And it's not for those who were just there that's part of the nice Christmas story with the Christmas carols, but it's for us today, now. Jesus said it himself. You see, we started off by reading in Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter in the New Testament. But now we're going to read in Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Matthew, at the end. You see, Jesus had completed his mission while he was on this planet. And it was time for him to go back up into heaven. And he gave some instructions to those who were following after him. And these instructions weren't just for them. They were for us. Here's what it says. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," just like we just did. He said, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." And get this. "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is with us. His presence is our present. In Matthew chapter 1, he quoted the prophet who prophesied long ago. He said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. You are not alone. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that as we celebrate this Christmas season, that we recognize that your present to us wasn't just your son, but the fact that you were present in our lives. Your presence is there. And it wasn't just for this moment that you came in human form, but it was for the rest of time that you are with us always, that we are not alone. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize this, that as we're grasping for what is the real reason for this season, that it's you being there for us. You knew what we needed even before we asked, even before we knew the best gift of all, you in our lives. God, I pray that as we look for ways this Christmas season to share your love, to bring joy to others, maybe to those who don't even understand what Christmas is about. God, I pray that you would just put it on our heart to make sure no one is alone at Christmas. Help us, God, to play a part in changing the statistics. Help us, God, to share your love. God, we're thankful for your presence in our lives. Thank you for always being there. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning we said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end. And here we are. We've been talking about it. That God sent Jesus. He sent him on a mission to pay the price for our sin. The Bible says we can know how much God loves us by the simple fact that before we were even born, he sent his son to die for us so that we can be forgiven, so that we could be set free, so that we could become a part of God's family, so that we can have eternal hope, knowing that we'll get to spend eternity with God in heaven. So we can live life on this planet with purpose, with meaning, with mission. That we can help others find God. We say, Pastor, how do I get this? How do I start? What do I got to do? Well, the Bible describes that we've got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, a few things we got to say. One, we got to recognize that we're not worthy. We got to say, I'm sorry for our sin. Secondly, we got to believe that God loved us so much that he did send Jesus, that Jesus did pay the price. We got to believe and claim that for us. And third, we got to go all in. We got to say yes to God. Say, God, I make you the leader of my life. I make you the boss of my life. And it's in that moment, in that prayer, that God changes everything. And this is for you today, the best present you could ever receive. But just like the presents on Christmas morning, this one has your name on it, but you don't have it until you open it. And having this conversation with God is opening his present to you. So I want to help you with this by leading you in that prayer. So I'm going to say that prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to repeat after me out loud as well. But don't worry, you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family here to pray with us, because no one prays alone at Focus Church. You see, this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray right now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.